Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians. We do have notes that have been passed out to you. Been doing a series on a sound mind, and as I said in the first service, and I'll say now, I've never had so many people respond by email, those that have my phone number by text, contacting the church. People have been so impacted by this message on a sound mind. And an introduction before we read Galatians chapter 3, and you can turn there. It's the end of our series, and what a series it's been. May has been Mental Health Month. Now, I didn't come up with that. It was started in 1949 by the Mental Health Association of America. And I just took a moment to focus on that, not only because of May being Mental Health Month, it's not talked about in churches. And yet at the same time, one in five individuals are on medication for their mental health. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but a lot of people are on meds for depression. They're on medication for fear, anxiety, on and on and on. And I'm not just saying that medication is bad. I think medication can be used by the Lord. But God wants to set you free at a very base level. And I am a firm believer through not only experientially, but through ministering for these 25 years, 18 of which are here in Alaska. When people get set free by the Lord, they are free indeed. And yes, there might be, I've got tested, I've got the blood work, I've got imbalances. I know, I'm sure you do. And you can be healed. Can you say amen? And the argument would then arise, yeah, but my father, yeah, but my mother, yeah, but I come from a long line of ADD. Yes, oh, no, you don't understand. No, you don't understand the power of God's word, the power of renewing your mind, the power of getting touched by the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So we've been preaching along these lines, and some of those messages, Triggered was one of them. They're all on YouTube, Facebook. You can get those. Healing Your Family Tree last week, Divine Demolition. The main text that we've been focused on has been 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which reads in the New King James, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." How much? Completely. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So that has been our main text. Triggered came from John 21. And we talked about how Peter denied the Lord three times and then is restored by the Lord at the fire after the resurrection. Three times Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" There's a restoration that takes place, not only between him and God, but between him and his own understanding and the disciples. And he would become really the chief apostle at that time. And he got healing to what took place. We go through things in life and you need healing. Come on, somebody say people need healing. And the message triggered, I said the triggers are good because they show you where you're broken. You ever known somebody that had a fuse so short that you hardly needed to light it, and then they just blew up all over the house? They're so angry, or when you see it on airplanes, you see it everywhere. People that are just, something happens that sets them off, and the response that they give is not a response, it's more of a reaction, and the reaction they give does not match the crime or the offense maybe that took place. Has anybody ever been triggered? Triggered. Then we talked about healing your family tree. Noah and Noah's sons and Ham and the curse that was on Ham. We talked about generational curses, generational blessings, and we dealt with that profound passage. Great, great word, because God's word is great. Go get that. Avail yourself to that. Last week, talked about strongholds. And once again, to quote Eduardo Cerveso, favorite teacher, pastor, revivalist of mine, now he's focused mostly on marketplace ministry, A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that's contrary to the word of God. You have places in your thinking that's a lie. A stronghold is a lie. And if you have places in your thinking that's a lie, then that is going to manifest in your life in a place of brokenness. So you need to destroy strongholds. And in the message, it is actually revelation when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds. We take every thought captive and make it obedient. Every high thing, every pretense that's raised up against the knowledge of God. And in the Greek, that high thing can also be cosmic power. And I tied it, oh, such a powerful word. I tied it to your thoughts, our thoughts, when there are lies, strongholds can be places where not only is the enemy allowed to have a place of operation in your life, but literally that can set things up in the heavenlies. What I mean by heavenly is Ephesians 6. Come on, I've gone over maybe half of your head, over your head for half of you, but you need to study to show yourself approved. Don't be ignorant. Don't stay an infant. Don't just stay on milk. This is the meat of the word. You got to change. You have to change the way you think. You have to tear down lies, and if not, you're going to be subject to them, and it's going to be horrible. So just a quick review of what we've been preaching on. I want to quote Dr. Caroline Leith, and I'm going to read a section from her book called Toxic Thoughts. I love science. Does anybody love science? But science does not take precedent over God's word. But I love when science matches God's word, and then I just get to go, oh yeah, I knew that. Amen. It kind of confirms. It's fun. So she is a spirit-filled Christian neurologist. And she says this, according to her, every thought we have can lead to the formation of protein structures in the brain, which she refers to as these trace memories or memory trees. These structures are a part of neural connections that we form as we think and process information. So literally, neural paths create what they've found in her studies to be these trees. And a neural path that, let me just say, is a blessed path, a blessed tree, a blessed formation of a good, pure, holy, noble, quoting Philippians, admirable thought, that produces in your neural paths, you're not your thinking, your brain. You're a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit, but your brain is like the computer and you need to change the way it's programmed. So when you have these thoughts that are good, pure, holy, noble, admirable, it creates a structure in your brain that flows healthy. It's functions. It's not rigid. Negativity and lies produce another kind of tree. You need to take your steel chainsaw in the power of the Spirit of God with the Word of God and hack down the negative tree. You need to remove the trees, the negative ones. And that is actually Romans 12 and verse 2, which is to not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind. You need to uproot the trees, the lies, the patterns, and you need to plant new seeds, seed of the word, and learn to think differently. You need to learn to think the way that God has intended you to think so that you can have a sound mind. You say, well, that's a lot of work. That's right, Einstein. It is. You have to take every... Is that of God? No. No. You need to take your thoughts captive. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Are you ready? Final message in the series. Stand up on your feet. Take your Bibles. Turn to Galatians 3. Listen very closely. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us. What did he do? He redeemed us. He purchased us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hung on a pole. New International Version. Another version says a tree. Verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I want you to read verse 14, whatever version you have, read it out loud with all your heart. Ready, set, go. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you did in the first service, what you've done already. We can go home. We already had church. Fantastic. But you're going to release, Lord, your blessing. You're going to release your power here in an unusual way to mark us, and may we never be the same as a result of the preaching and the teaching of your word. Holy Spirit, come. Come on, lay hands on your own heart. Speak to me. Speak to us. Speak out of the volume of your word. Holy Spirit, have your way. May the gifts be in operation. Feel free to interrupt anytime you want. It's your people, it's your church. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in the holy, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to somebody, slap them five, and say, all of these blessings belong to you. Come on, say it out loud. Say, all of these blessings are mine. All of these blessings. All of these blessings are mine. Say it again. All of these blessings are mine. Jesus, through his death, breaks all curses. Everybody say it. Jesus, through his death, breaks all curses. Because of what Christ has done, we as Gentiles, now I need to stop. We're not all Gentiles. There are some that are Jews, and they've given their lives to Christ. And some would call them Messianic Jews. Mostly here, we're Gentiles. And this letter to the Galatians is written to the Gentile church in Galatia. But it certainly applies for Jews as well. Because of what Christ has done, we as Gentiles or Jews receive the covenant blessing of Abraham. And that is a profound revelation. It says in Colossians 2 and 14, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away. Everybody say he took it away. The greatest revelation I know is that deity inside of humanity, that when you receive Jesus, he takes away your sin. He throws it as far as the east is from the west. And he comes and he takes up residence on the inside of you. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Jesus lives on the inside of you, and you are in him. And there's a duality to that. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places, as Ephesians says, but you're also here. Come on, somebody, I'm here. Say, I'm here. All right, those of you might be coming in a little bit later on. Wow. Everyone can have eternal life. Everyone can be forgiven. There are some that are turned over to a reprobate mind, but if you're hearing the words right now that are coming out of my mouth, that's not you. Because of what Christ has done, the Gentiles can receive the covenant blessing of Abraham. What is that? What is the covenant blessing of Abraham? Now, you can go to Genesis and read through these different covenant blessings, and I'm going to tap them and move along before we get into Deuteronomy 28, and I'll tie it all together. But the blessings promised to Abraham are numerous, and they are significant. That he would be a great nation, Genesis 12 and 2 through 3. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12. And then also numerous descendants, Genesis 15. And verse 5, and he took him outside and he says to Abram, look, Abraham, look at the stars. And I've taught on this dozens of times, but it moves me so much. That the God of creation, the creator El Shaddai, El Elyon, would come, call Abram out of his tent and say, Abram. And in the Hebrew, the word Abram, please. The word is nah, N-A, please, Abram, look. Why would God, creator of the universe, say please to a man? Because if Abraham couldn't see it, then it wasn't going to happen. It was a covenant that was going to be released to him, but if he could not enter in by faith and be accredited unto him as a righteousness, he would miss it. And I will tell you this, that many times God will bring you into a place of tremendous outpouring, but if you can't see it, you won't receive it. You have to open your eyes. Vision is key. Abraham, please, Abraham, would you please look for God's sake? For my sake, would you, God, would you open your eyes, Abraham? I had somebody, a Jewish lady, tell me, can you stop using that accent for God? Make him sound like he's some sort of a cheap comedian or shoe salesman or something. Would you? I don't think God said. She's Jewish, so she could get away with saying that. Anyway, you'll see this land inheritance. By the way, it's a lot larger than what they have now. They've been ripped off. Oh, God, bless Israel. Come on, somebody say, bless Israel. Genesis 12 and Genesis 13. Covenant relationship with God, Genesis 17. Blessing to all the nations. Wow. Oh, we're going to look at this. Come on, go there. Go to Genesis 18. Talking about how God wants to bless you. You don't have to be broken in your mind. You don't have to be broken in your spirit. You don't have to be broken in your body. You can have a sound mind. You can be sanctified through and through, spirit, soul, and body. You've got to get healed of all your triggers. You got to get healed of generational things. You got to learn to walk in the blessing. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to tear down and cut down every tree that's been placed there through a lie. You have to tear down the strongholds. God's plan for you is to walk in the blessings of God. That is God's plan. In order, and he's redeemed us in order that. The reason he saved you is so that you could walk in the blessings. That's what Galatians 3 says, and in every other place. I see light bulbs going on everywhere. People are like, what? Genesis 18, verse 18, blessing to all the nations, but listen to this. Abraham, this is in the context, and I've shared this at least a dozen times also, but it's so moving for me. The context, it's right before the judgment that comes upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is this angelic team, Jesus there as well, many scholars believe, a theophany. And they say to either, should we tell Abraham what we're about to do? We're about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Should we tell him? And this is the understanding. Abraham will surely, we got to tell him, because Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Verse 19, please look at this. Let it go deep in your spirit. Genesis 18, verse 9, it's similar language to Galatians. For I have chosen him so that he will direct. I've selected him. He's redeemed us in order that. I've chosen Abraham so that. Why did God, listen, man, it's the second service, baby. Come on, Jesus. Why? Why did he choose you? So that you could just rub two pennies together and live broken in your mind and go marriage after marriage and raise a bunch of brats and have a cursed life? That is not why. He did not redeem you so you could have a messed up, jacked up life. Yes, things are difficult, but he calls you out from among them to be ye separate and to live this blessed life as an unusual people, chosen, selected by him, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy people, so that when somebody looks at you, they go, what do they have? I want what you have. Zechariah prophesied that in the last days, a Jew will come and take hold of their garment and say, please show me how you're so blessed. I've seen that. I've seen pictures of the blessing of God so poured out upon a people that people come and say, I want to know how you were able. Why is it that you just are able to overcome every difficulty? Why is it that you have such blessing and you're able to say, Jesus, wash me in order that I'd have the blessing of Abraham. Jesus redeemed me from the curse he hung on a tree. I made up this song right now. I've
redeem them in order that the blessing of Abraham. And so here in Genesis 18 and verse 19, Abraham's going to become a great nation. All the nations are going to be blessed through him. And verse 19, if you're all there, listen, get there. Underline it. For I have chosen him. Similar language to Galatians. Of course, it's in Hebrew. And Galatians written in Koine Greek. I understand that. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children. Listen closely. And his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring for Abraham what he has promised him. The promise, for one thing, why would you need to direct the children if the promise is going to come to pass in your lifetime? Because it's multi-generational. It's beyond your lifetime. Come on, somebody say amen. And literally, God is teaching them what justice and righteousness, right and wrong, Sodom and Gomorrah. There is truth, absolute truth, and you need to teach your kids, but you need to learn also. And if you don't, then you won't walk into the blessings of Abraham that he has for you. He has blessing for you. Man, somebody's going to get it today. God has blessing for you, and you need it. It's beyond your lifetime. I don't know when the Lord's going to come back, and if somebody does tell you, that's, you can be sure that's not the date. Somebody says, I know when he's coming. No, you don't. But he is coming, and we are closer than when we first believed. There will come a day, perhaps, if he tarries, then guess who's going to take over? All of your kids. You got to train them right. The promise is beyond your lifetime, and it was beyond Abraham's. So God blessed Abraham, write in your notes now, in every way. How did he bless him? In every way. He not only blessed him in every way, literally, he was blessed. Everything, literally everything. Genesis 24 and 1, Abraham was now old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. How was he blessed? In every way that you can be, he had it. God blessed Abraham with long life and health. Lots of scriptures here. I love the amplified version of Genesis 25, 7 and 8. The days of Abraham's life were 175 years. Verse 8, amplified. If it's too loud, just turn it down a little bit. Genesis 25, 8. Then Abraham's spirit was released, and he died at a good, ample, full old age, an old man, satisfied and satiated, he was gathered to his people. New Living says that he died at a ripe old age. So we had long life and health. Do you think that's for you? Biblically, yes. How come everybody doesn't walk in that? We'll talk about that in a little bit. So God gave Abraham covenant blessings. And those covenant blessings is that which he promised to Israel. And you see them manifested in Deuteronomy 28. You can read Deuteronomy 28. The blessings are from verse 1 to 14. And then following that, all of the curses. The first time I ever preached in Alaska, the first time ever, was in the barn that was about 100 plus yards that way. Maybe 75 yards that way, and in the barn, and people were driving in from Anchorage, and we had a healing line, and I'll never forget this. I'm praying for people. People are getting healed. People are getting touched. I come to this one lady. She says, I need prayer. I said, well, what do you need prayer for? She says, the itch. Now, if you go read Deuteronomy 28, it talks about this thing called the itch, but being younger and not as wise as I am now, and I hope to get wiser. Anybody else hoping to get wiser? I said, the itch, what is that? And I regretted asking her what that is. The itch, whatever it is, you don't want it. Come on, somebody say amen. Blessings and curses. So in Deuteronomy 28, I mean, I was reading through Deuteronomy 28, and I was weeping because I realized all of these are ours. He said, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay. My Pharisaical friend, yes, it is the Old Testament, and Galatians 3 is referring to the blessing of Abraham, referring to the blessings of God. Covenant blessings are yours in Christ. Somebody say it's mine in Jesus. Yeah, you've been grafted in. Verse 1, The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. Verse 13, similar. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. How many of you, some of you are the tail right now, but you can be converted today. Promotion. Promotion. God promoted Abraham. Guess what? Guess what you can walk in? You can walk in promotion all the days of your life. You can be promoted all the days of your life. Come on, somebody say that's right. Come on, somebody raise a hand to heaven and say, I'm getting promoted. Yeah, I'm getting promoted. If you live according to the word, you walk in Christ, you've been redeemed for the purpose that you would be promoted. Wow, instead of your circumstances controlling you, you stand in a place and decree your own circumstances, change things. Come on, someone say, I'm getting promoted. No, I don't feel like I'm getting promoted. I know that's your problem. You need to adjust your feelings to the facts, which are this. The blessing of Abraham rests upon the redeemed. You're redeemed by the blood. Receive that. Come on, someone say, Twala. I think that's Ugandan. So just reach up like this, reach like this, reach, and say, Twala. Yeah, promotion's yours, along with all the rest of these. Blessed wherever you are and whatever you do. Verse 3, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. You know, one of the things I've done, I don't know, some people say that I've got some Jewish blood. I hope to. I went and got checked, and they sent some spittle off, and it came back, no Jewish blood. I don't know. I'm grafted in, or maybe I've got some Jewish blood, and they didn't see it right, whatever. I love mezuzahs. You know, how many of you know what a mezuzah is? It's found in the law where you would put the Ten Commandments, and there's some other things in there, and I'm not a scholar on mezuzahs, but I like them. And they're placed on the side of your house. When you walk in, it's to be on the right-hand side, and it's on an angle. And when they walk in, literally the Jews would reach, they bless it, and they walk in. You know what I found myself doing all this week? I found myself, and I have one. I got one from Israel. I've had it since I first went a number of years ago. Then it broke, and I put a new one up. And so as I'm walking in, you know what I did this week? Almost every time I walked in, I kissed it. I'm like, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. When I leave, I'm hitting that thing. I'm blessed going out too. I think we should do that. I think you should speak life over yourself. I think when you get in your car, listen, I don't get in my car and don't pray and thank God I'm blessed. I close the door. Ask me how many accidents I've gotten in. Not nearly as many as Pastor Karen thinks. I'm blessed. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. Yes. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Oh, I'm getting promoted, promoted, promoted. I'm getting promoted, promoted, promoted. Getting promoted. Come on, say it. Getting. You're blessed wherever you are, blessed in what you do. Prosperity, look at verse 28, verse 4 of chapter 28, Deuteronomy. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. That's not the fruit of the loom. Once again, the fruit of the loom is an underwear company. They stole it from here. The fruit of the womb is your offspring, your children, your grandchildren. Raise your hand if you got children. Great, raise your hand if you got grandchildren. It was so funny. At the prophetic conference, we were here. And they said, anybody have grandchildren, raise your hand. My hand went up automatically. I'm like, whoa. And I realized actually my daughter was pregnant from that time. Nobody knew. And I thought, ooh, I know how that works. And actually she was pregnant right then before they got the test. October, I'm gonna be granddad. Come on, Jesus. I don't know, it's done something to me. It has done something to me. I am now going to be a grandfather. Whoa. Glory to God. Come on, your grandparents, it changed you when you got a grandkid. Like, oh yeah. My grandchildren will be blessed. My great-grandchildren will be blessed. My children are blessed. When I was watching Minister Daniel up there, my son leading worship. So powerful. And I had a moment where I stepped back and, you know, realizing that I made you with the help of Karen and the Lord. Stepped back from that, so proud. And just entered into worship. I was getting so touched by God, and I opened my eyes and then realized That's coming through my son, this powerful worship. What a gift. Come on, you say, well, you're so lucky. Nah, we don't believe in luck. That's Eastern. We believe in blessing. He said, well, my son or my daughter rolled up at the house the other day in a 1978 limousine that was lowered with tinted windows, and there was all kinds of smoke coming out the windows. When they opened the door, it was like 15 people got out, and they didn't look very blessed to me. And he's going through a lot. She's going through a lot. If you don't see the blessing of God upon your children, and you're in this place right now, and listen closely, and you've given your life to Christ, then you start ramming that scripture right down the devil's throat. God, I'm blessed. I've got the blessing of Abraham. I am blessed. The nations are going to be blessed. I'm blessed. The fruit of my womb will be blessed. Of course, talking about your wife if you're a man, because men don't have wombs. Come on, somebody say, oops, did I step in something? Let me step in it some more. Come on, say, my children are blessed. But the evidence is he's a pimp. Maybe some of you don't know what that is. So the evidence is that he's not living a godly life right now. You start speaking blessing over your son, over your daughter, over your grandchildren. The fruit of the womb are blessed. My children are blessed. They're blessed. They're blessed. They're blessed. Every curse is broken. This is a promise God, you've given to me. Release the blessing now. I declare it. I'm kind of fired up this morning or this afternoon. Your kneading basket in your verse 5, Deuteronomy. It's what this means is prosperity means that God will provide for your daily needs abundantly. It implies that you will never lack the essentials of what is needed for what he's called you to do. It's a promise. Listen closely to what I'm about to say. The promises of God are the basis by which you pray. You pray God's promises and they will manifest in your life. You don't stop until you see it come to pass. You take that promise and you beat the fool out of the enemy. You beat the fool out of the stronghold that's in your brain, thinking, well, if I was blessed, then he wouldn't be a pimp. If I was blessed, he wouldn't be a... Stop! The enemy is a liar and he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. You start speaking blessing, blessed, blessed, blessed. I have divine health. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My kids are blessed. My grandkids are blessed. Can somebody say amen? Can I preach in here? I'm trying to help you. Victory. 4, victory. Verse 7, the Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. You're a victor, not a victim. You've heard me say it. I say it again. God has created you to be a victor, not a victim. Quit belly aching, talking about the fact that you were bottle fed. Quit complaining that you were dropped on your head. I know things happen. Things happen to me too. The devil, as I said, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to me and I have life and life to the full. You've got to get healed. You've got to get set free. Quit blaming someone else for your condition. Take personal responsibility because you can change your life. We've seen the most broken people come in and walk in such a way that God is using them to bless thousands. You don't tell me it can't happen for you. You're just not willing to tear down your stronghold. You've got that idol before you. Know, I'm going to keep my thing. The Lord knows. Yeah, he knows. And if you'll tear it down, you can move into the blessing or not. Listen closely. God will not do what you're required to do. You can't do what he did. He won't do your part. Love is not in a vacuum where he's just going to love you because he just loves you. Yes, he does. He loves you. That's true. But real love, it must be reciprocated by, is that the right word? To the Lord by us. How do we know that we love God? Because then you'll obey his word. And the truth is, that has to come from a deep, abiding passion and love for God, not because you're trying to earn his favor. Oh my. God blessed Abraham with relationship with him. Lots of scripture. Wow, relationship with God Almighty. God blessed Abraham by making him a source of blessing. These are all true for you and me. All right. How to make the blessings of Abraham yours in this sound mind. How do you move from partial brokenness or complete brokenness? How do you do that? Well, complete brokenness, you need to be born again. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have not done that, do it today. Before we receive communion here in a moment, give your life to Christ. If you've never given your life to Jesus, do it. Jesus was crucified for your sin and for mine. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Galatians 3, he redeems us, redeemed, purchased back from the curse. Redeemed, because those who hung on a pole, hung on a tree, became a curse. He became a curse for you, so you don't have to be cursed. You don't have to be separated from God. You can be redeemed, you can be cleansed, you can be healed, and walk in the blessing of God. But the first thing is, make Jesus Christ your Lord. He's either the Lord of all, or he's not the Lord at all. Some people come to church and they're like, yeah, he's my Lord. Like when you're here, get behind the wheel and you manifest some generational iniquity, cutting people off and flipping them the single finger salute. If you're not right with God, every head bowed, in fact, right now, you're not right with God right now, get right with God. You say, that's me. I need to give my life to him. I gave my life to him when I was younger, but I'm not living for him now. We'll change that. Rededicate your life. Rededicate your life. Maybe you never give your life to Jesus ever, and you want to do that today. Online, Point Hope, wherever you are. Going to give your life to Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get right with God. Lift your hand right now. Do it now. Do it now. God bless you all the way in the back. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the way on the right-hand side, this middle section now. You want to get right with God. You want your sins forgiven. You want heaven to be your home. Lift your hand. God bless you. Over on this left side, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Right on, boys. God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. Pray this with me. All across this place, lots of people have been praying. Oh, I'm far from God. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Forgive me of all my sin. Wash and cleanse me. I believe that he rose again from the grave. Raise my life up now. Forgive me of all of my sin. Throw it as far as the east is from the west. And take up residence inside my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. That's the first step. Say amen, which means so be it. Let it be written. Let it be done. It's finished. When you say amen, that means that's it. It's sealed. That's the first step. You want the blessings of Abraham? You got to give your life to Jesus. The second thing is you got to walk by faith. You got to walk by faith. There's a difference between positional blessing and appropriated blessing. I've taught that many times before. To use your home as an example, if you're living for God and you're walking with God and you're in covenant with God and you're seeking him, then you're teaching your kids to do the same thing. Actually, your children are blessed because they're in your house. So there's a blessing because they're under your roof. When they grow up and they leave, the positional blessing is because they were under your roof. Now they leave, now they have to learn to appropriate the blessing. My children are blessed because they're Brackens. I was raised them in my home. And now they're appropriating the blessing for themselves. But when they were younger, before the age of accountability, they were under my home and under my covering, and I was teaching them, and I was covering them, and they were blessed. Now they have to choose it, and they are, and I'm thanking God for that. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a difference. Appropriating the blessing is taking it. Everybody say, take it. God gives promises. He gives a promised land, but you must dispossess those that are in it. So what didn't happen in the first 6 months, he only turns over the promised land to you little by little as you dispossess thoughts, so on and so forth. It's yours, but you need to possess it. Fight the good fight of faith. Everybody say, fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6, Revelation 21, 7. He who overcomes, oh my. He who overcomes. That indicates that there's a fight. Pray. Everybody say pray. How's your prayer life? You know somebody has faith when they have a prayer life. People that don't have faith don't have a prayer life. So that might sting a little bit. So then just get one. Develop one. Learn. Prayer is caught more than taught. You come to morning prayer, and that's corporate prayer. I think that's very, very important. It's one of the reasons we're here, but also your individual prayer life. We're talking about walking in the blessing of Abraham. All of these blessings are yours. All of them are yours if you take them. And prayer possesses promises and releases them into the natural. Believe in God's promises and declare them. I've started teaching you that already. Come on, over your kids. The fruit of the womb, my children are blessed. The fruit of the womb are blessed. My children are blessed. No matter what you see in the natural, start speaking blessing over them. Can you say amen? When our building froze on that faithful January and we got the report, you've lost the building. You've totally lost the building. You have to find a whole new heating system. You have to jack up all the concrete in the floors. 73,000, actually it's a little bit less than that. You have to jack up all the concrete, pull up all the floor, relay everything, re-pour everything. I thought, what? No. Yeah, no. Yes, I start crying. No, I'm weeping. Nope, that ain't happening. Sometimes you'll hear something. All the evidence is there. All of it's there. This, frozen pipes. Come on, we walk by faith, not by sight. Some of you have frozen pipes in your family. God can thaw them. God can heal them. Some of you believe in God to have a baby, and you've been infertile all these years in your marriage, but you really believe God. Believe God. You don't have a womb so that you just have hormones. God's given you a womb so you can actually bring forth fruit from it. Somebody say amen. Start standing on God's word. Start speaking life. I know what the doctors say. They're just practicing. God bless all the doctors in the house. We walk by faith. You got to take steps of faith. You got to decree. You got to believe God's promise and declare it. And your mind will argue. Yeah, but no, that, oh my God, no, that's a prosperity gospel. Just read the word and obey it. It's pretty simple. Take steps of faith. You're looking for a house. You're believing for a house, but you can't afford one. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I mean, housing has gone through the roof. You're believing for a house. I mean, how's my 21-year-old going to buy a house? By faith. God's giving you a house. He's giving you a house. He heard your cry. 21, you're going to own your own home. It's going to happen. You need to lay hold and fight that thing you got till October. How's that going to happen? By faith. So he started looking. He's like, on an intern salary, I'm just bragging on him. On an intern salary, he's looking for a house. And he goes in, he gets approved. And they're like, you can buy a shed. They want more than a shed. And this is a number of years ago. God's raising him up. But the point is, don't look at the simple empirical data that you see in front of you. That's your sight. You need to walk by faith. Confident assurance of what you cannot see. If God's word says it, I believe it. You start looking. You see, if your credit's destroyed, you fix it. You start taking steps of faith. Look at Galatians 3 again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Worship team, would you come? Curses everyone hangs on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the purpose he redeemed you. I mean, think about that. The purpose he saved you. The purpose he washed away your sin. The purpose is so that all of these blessings I'm preaching to you come upon your life. I feel a wall. I feel resistance that some have shut me down. Perhaps I've gone too long. I'm not sure. But I push past that to say, the reason you're saved is so that you would be in the blessing of Abraham. That's why he saved you. So that when people see you, so that you can bring his kingdom, and they see you, they're like, oh my gosh, he has got something. All right, listen, the third way we receive the blessings of Abraham is by being filled with the Spirit, which the text says. It's more than a theology, it's a reality. By being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you a greater sensitivity to his voice. Holy Spirit will tenderize your heart, lead you. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in us. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24 of Galatians 5 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. Some of you are like, you've got one foot over here just still kicking. You need to pull all that away in and just crucify that thing and really walk in the blessings of God. Thank you, Minister Toby, if you would, please. So much here. The Holy Spirit releases his gifts, his power through us. The Holy Spirit, moving on, causes us, to live and gives honor to God through our lives. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 28:58. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere his glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on your descendants and harsh, prolonged disasters and severe, lingering illness. I think that's kind of what America's going through, but it can change. Come on, somebody say it can change. Have I gotten through? Did I get through? You can walk in the blessings of God. It's the reason he died for you. The reason he was crucified and redeemed you is so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. We're going to receive communion here in a moment. Oh God, I take authority over the assignment of the enemy that would try to keep the scales of religion and tradition on the eyes of your people here under the sound of my voice, God. I so long with that which you've placed on the inside of me to see truth. Illuminate their heart that they could walk in freedom and power and the blessing of God. You are not to be a cursed people. You're to walk in the blessing of God. It is for this reason that he saved you. That the blessings of Abraham would come upon you through Christ Jesus. You'd be filled with the Spirit. Slay any other argument that would try to say something to you otherwise. Oh, Galatians 3. I close our service with the blessing. When we pray over our offering, our tithes, I quote this scripture. That the blessing of Abraham come upon us, that you bless Abraham in all things, bless us in all things we might be a... Why would I say that? It's not religion, it's theological reality that'll set you free from a life of bondage and pain and sickness and disease and all of the curse. You're not under the curse. You're not supposed to live under the curse, but you have to appropriate it. You got to take hold of that thing and just turn it. You got to turn your thinking. Your children are blessed. Your marriage is blessed. Your finances are blessed. Your emotions are blessed. You don't have to be broken in your mind, in your emotions. You do not have to stay that way. You said, well, I've been in church 6 months and it's not all the way changed yet. No, maybe not. But the good work that God begun in you, he will complete. Don't you give up hope. Don't you turn. What, are you going to go back to Heineken? That really helped you. That was great. That was fantastic. You're going to go back to smoking weed and expect that that's going to help you? That's not going to help. You're going to go back to illicit relationships? No, that's a curse. Keep going. Keep pressing. Keep believing. Keep declaring. Keep getting fired up every time you come in here. Get a part of this church. Get a part of the life group. Get in prayer. Learn to declare. Learn to decree. Learn to turn back the battle at the gate. Learn to stand, and having done all else, stand and rebuke the enemy. Rebuke sickness. Rebuke disease. And then start teaching other people how to do it. Then start teaching other people how to overcome. Come on. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. You've got the blood. You've got the blessing of God. Take it. Take it. Take it for yourself. Take it. Take it. Take it for yourself. Stand up on your feet all across this place and say, I'm getting mine today. Oh, I pledge my life. I pledge my life to walk in the blessing of God. Come on, lift your voice. I just preached myself crazy right there. Crazy in God, that is. Put your best hand clap together for God all across this place. Say, repeat after me, say, I have the blessing of Abraham because I've been redeemed from the curse by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the reason that he saved me. I'm blessed.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.